CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Here we are, and we're live. It's me, it's you, it's Pumi, it's Thursday. Yes, can only mean one thing. Can mean the burning platform at 7 o'clock this morning, where we'll no doubt have some interesting people. How's last week's character, huh? He was great. You know, there's some very cool people in this country doing little things here and there that are either they're NGOs or they have a special interest or whatever. But thank God for people like that, because I couldn't do it. You wouldn't want to do it.
This is how you know our country has like Vuba in it, right? Mm-hmm. It's because we have a country that allows anyone and everyone to test the Constitution, to test the legalities of the world that we live in. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are questioning, I think people who are questioning are also, those are the people who move us forward, whether it's in science or art or, you know, legal. But people who are questioning what is and
absolutely
what could be.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Some very exciting things that we've got on the agenda for this morning. We're going to talk about the thing no one wants to talk about, monkeypox. We'll get to that just now. Jesus, you know, really.
Listen, before we talk about monkeypox, you know that Kendrick Lamar joint, that King Kunta?
Yes, I love that song.
All of last night, and this in my head all of last night and this morning is, you know, that he's mad.
Yes,
he's
I am mad.
Yeah,
I'm mad at all of you guys. I'm mad at you. I'm mad at everybody that listens.
Why?
Because I share with you guys. I share what I watch, what I listen, what I read. I mm-hmm. share all of that, and none of y'all thought to tell me about C.
What do you mean?
This show with Jason Momoa on Apple TV.
Oh, I haven't seen that either. So
with
I don't,
all the blind people.
I don't know about that. I don't know what you're
talking about. I have not slept.
Did you?
I have not had a full night's sleep in 3 days.
What, did you binge and binge and binge?
Yeah, because I have to work, but also, it's so good.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, why is nobody talking about this thing?
All right. Okay. Well, I didn't even know about it. So there's the news to me as well. So now I have some homework. Oi, my list of shows that I have to watch and listen to is getting longer and longer and longer every day. It's getting ridiculous.
I think the world needs to hurry up and like get the droids on stream, right?
Yeah.
Get all the AI and all the droids on stream. I need more free time.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
I need more free time, so I need droids doing all of the work. You know, like on Star Wars.
Totally. I am so on your page. You know what? Bring it on.
I'm ready.
I want all these droids building the things, making the things, doing the work, and we can just be sitting around consuming content and consuming food. I have no problem with that. Really.
I am so ready.
Yeah.
That's why I'm mad at y'all. But anyway.
Yeah, Pumlani says, well, Pumi, now you've told us about another new show, like we needed that. And Congo Chris says,
not all of us have time for TV, Pumi. Some of us actually work.
This is my point, Congo Chris. This is my point. This is why we need the droids to come on stream now.
Mm.
We're in 2022, for crying out loud.
Right. He does also say rise and grind, one day to payday. Yeah, it's tomorrow. Woohoo. Although,
oh,
I mean, technically...
Really? We don't have that life.
No, I mean, I usually get paid at the last day of the month, but, you know.
I get paid on the 34th.
The 34th of Aug, only 1 month a year, Pumi, Augsember. That's the month you get paid in, right? Yeah. Jesus. Shame, I got a message from a very good friend of mine. He said his wife and kids were held up at home on Monday while he was at work. And thankfully, no one was harmed. But they did tie the wife up and they stole a few things. And he said he's just, as a husband and as a father, He was at work, and he just said he feels so powerless. He feels like he was in, you know, he was neglecting his duties as a man and as a father, and it's weighing on him very heavily. And he sent us all on our little friend group a message yesterday. I just thought, what a shit thing to happen to anyone, you know, especially a family, and then they're young kids. I think they're all under the age of 10. It's just horrible.
Sure.
No, this is the shit people are dealing with on a daily basis. So we can sit here and talk about like TV series and stuff, but this is really just such a horrible like wake up call. It's like, boom. Sorry, that's what we're talking about. That's what's going on in the world. There's a sneeze for a Thursday, just for you. So, while we go from the sublime to the ridiculous, I mean, I you know, these stories, and it's just on my mind because he sent a picture. I mean, not a picture, a message to us last night. And I was like, oh, what a shitty thing to have to deal with. And it kind of, you know, when you read a message like that just before you go to sleep, it sticks in your head. That's what you think about. Like the Kendrick Lamar song was in your head all night. No, this is what happens to us. I had a really interesting business meeting yesterday, which also was stuck in my head. And then I've got a new addition to the family, who I'm not going to show you now, but Pumi met Alice, the little puppy, on Tuesday when I took her into the office. So I'll show you a picture of her just now on the screen if you're listening to the show. But I decided the other day, it was enough of this living alone, and it was about a month, maybe just over a month, that I've been, you know, since Carl died, and I thought this house is very quiet and it's very lonely. And it's a bit boring. So I decided it's puppy time. So I went and got myself a little puppy. And that is what I've got. And that is my most exciting new development in the last couple of days. So I actually got her a week ago. Last Thursday was her first show. And Pumi was the only one who noticed that she was sitting on my lap for a part of the show last week. You were the only one who was sharp enough to see on the YouTube channel. Out of all the people watching, Pumi was the only one who said, ah, there's something going on there. So you really should be a private investigator, Pums.
Oh, but you know, what I actually think I would love to be is a spy. Yeah, you know, like James Bond type of spy. One that people watches, that yes. follows people.
Yes.
That follows people. Because it's so amazing for me how there are some people in our society mm-hmm. that are just unseen. You just don't see them. They and I think black women are some of those people can be unseen in places.
You mean
because we just kind of
because in the corporate workspace, black women never used to have prominent roles, so people didn't take them as seriously. And in the household, they were like the domestic worker, and therefore people just kind of, they blend into the surroundings, and people do things and say things and
behave in front of you.
I think that's
everywhere.
An interesting point.
It's not just in the workplace, but it is everywhere where you're just like, what the things I hear people like say, talk yeah. about, and it's not because you're eavesdropping. It's simply because they don't see you.
Yeah.
They don't think that you're just blending into the background.
Well, it's a superpower, actually. Where it's also
you great at following.
I mean, yeah, you could say it's a kind of dismissiveness, but you could also say, well, you know what? I'm going to use that to my advantage, which it sounds like you do. And you can be a fly on the wall, and you can witness things, and people don't even realize that you're witnessing these things.
Hmm.
That's an interesting point.
That would be. Even when you travel, you know, I've noticed just traveling internationally, you just blend into the background. People don't see you.
I've never really, certainly in South Africa, been able to blend into the background. I kind of I walk into a room and people are like,
occupational hazard.
Oh, it's that guy, you know. So no, and I'm not feeling sorry for myself, because it can be a tremendous, as we said now, for you, a disadvantage or an advantage, depending on what you choose to make of it. But I'm I'm always, there's a part of me that wishes I could sometimes just be incognito. And I know that sounds like, oh, there's someone moaning about their life when their life's quite good. Well, listen, I mean, it's nice to sometimes be a part of the background, a nobody. It's nice to sometimes...
Marco in the comments says, same with people in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And I think I agree, like people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people kind of ignore them, right?
Absolutely.
So I took this little puppy in. I don't want to wake her up now because she's sleeping, but this is what she looks like. Pumi met her, as I said, on Tuesday. And she's the sweetest little thing. So she's 3 months old. And you know what? It's like a new member of the family. But I have to tell you, she's so good. She just wakes up and, you know, she wants to go and wee. And she goes outside. She's made no mess in the house. She's up and down the stairs, which I don't think she'd ever been up and down a staircase before. She eats properly. She doesn't bark. She doesn't whine. She doesn't do any of that stuff. She's the most divine little dog. And she's beautiful. I mean, I'm very, very happy to have her. And, you know, you have to have something, even if you're a cold, heartless bastard like me. You have to have something to love, Pumi.
Oh. And so cute.
And to be loved.
She is loved by,
yeah? Right? It's something to love and something to be loved by.
Unbelievable. I'm a dog person myself. Mm. So, they're like cat people and they're dog people. I'm a dog person myself. We have a little pug.
Yes.
And dogs are just, it's wonderful to have something that finds you so joy filling. When dogs see you, they're so filled with joy. They run to you. They love you. And you don't even have to be the person that feeds him.
No, but the fun thing here is that, you know, I live on my own. So this dog is completely, within a week, it's devoted to me. I mean, like, she looks at me with these eyes like, okay, what are we going to do now? You know, that kind of thing. And it is very, very sweet. You need to, I think what dogs tell you, especially a happy dog that's living with a person, a dog that is, you know, it's like if someone has happy children, you know that they've got a happy house. They've got, you know, if those kids are growing up with love and they're growing up with security and they're growing up with, you know, the basics taken care of, then they're nice children and they have, you know, good manners and they know how to behave themselves and they impress you. They're curious and they're interesting and they have little personalities. And if there are too many problems, you're like, oof, that house must be a bit difficult to live in for that kid. And the same goes for a dog. If a dog is happy and well-adjusted and, you know, not frightened and terrified of everything, or at the same time barking and behaving badly all the time, then you know that that dog probably lives in a very nice, peaceful household. And it's a dead giveaway. Like if someone has well-behaved animals or well-behaved children, and I'm by no means saying that the two are the same, but then they usually are the kind of people that you can get along with. Certainly my opinion.
There is a space though where the two are the same, the children and the animals.
Yeah. Right?
There's a small window of time where they really are. They depend on you. They love you all the time. The kids grow out of that, but the animals...
Well, Pumi showed me a picture of her son on Tuesday because we haven't actually seen a lot of each other during lockdown. We've done the show every week, but in person, we haven't seen each other for a while. She showed me a picture of her son who's now at boarding school. This guy is now your height. And man, is he growing up fast. I remember when he was just a little toddler. That was when I first met you.
With the mohawk.
Yep, that's right.
Look. And everybody, we had a whole thing about boarding school when Bulelo was here at the beginning of the year. Mm. What's also happened is he really has shot up because I don't see him every day.
Right.
When I see him, it's always a revelation. It's like, wow, this is a whole person now. This guy.
There must be quite.
And high school is.
It must be quite
amazing.
Quite special and quite rewarding because. Since he's doing this weekly boarding, I mean, you don't see him for a few days. And then when you do, you appreciate that time together. I mean, I know that there's still lots to do. It's not as if he's, you know, he's out of the country or out of the province. But at the same time, it's rewarding because you can actually see him with those gaps that allow you to appreciate the growth and the development that's happening there, the interests that he's picking up and the good and bad influences and all of that stuff, right?
The distance is nice.
Yeah.
The distance is, it's really nice to have the distance and kind of the benefits of standing back. What's really awesome is, like I was saying, the kids and the dog and the pets, right? He's in that space where you're giving more autonomy to him, more and more. There's less of him for me to worry about. It's so nice. It's a little bit like a burden off your shoulders.
Don't worry. You don't have to feel bad about that, Pumi. A lot of people. Who did I see? I saw some friends of mine yesterday, and she and I kind of grew up together. And her husband said to me, I said, where's the little boy? And they both went, he's at school. Thank God. You know? So I was like, and this kid is, I don't know, he's probably out of 4 or something, 5.
Oi.
And they're like, oh, no. We need every moment we get away from him, we relish. We love our kid, but we relish it. So don't feel bad. Anyway, so all the people who want to meet Alice, I'll put a little, I'll pick her up just now when she wakes up and show you who she is and introduce you to her properly. But here she is. She was in the office on Tuesday, which she loved. She's tiny though. She looks big in that picture, but she's a little thing. I mean, Pumi, she was jumping all over you and saying hello when you came in.
Oh, she's awesome. She is very sweet.
So, we will no doubt be seeing a lot of, Instagram and so on with the little puppy involved from here on in, because people love, who doesn't love a puppy, right? Who doesn't love a cute little animal? Beats the hell out of seeing me. All right, so people want to know what her name is. It's Alice. Tatlicho says, I am a dad, plants kind of person. I'm hardly at home. Not even fish can survive. You know what? Don't feel bad.
Oh.
Don't feel bad. Some people are not keen on looking after things. They don't want to be watering plants or feeding dogs or taking them outside to pee or any of that stuff. Don't worry about it, you know?
Taking them out to pee.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to take the plants out to pee, but, you know, even they deserve a little day in the sun. And you sometimes need to wash off the leaves and all of that stuff. So even that's work. I understand. We had a guy on Monday, Pumi, who does bonsai. And that's a lot of work.
I saw that.
Did you see it?
I saw that. I love bonsai.
They look amazing, but they don't just get there on their own. You need to be looking after them the whole time. Anyway, here's Wendy. She says, I rescued 4 bunnies, which were wild in the complex where we stay. There were 7. 3 were eaten by a massive ginger cat. I was so happy looking after the bunnies. My mom stays with them at night. Wow. And some.
How did you rescue the bunnies? Bunnies are...
How did you catch
them? Joburg has a lot of wild bunnies.
They do.
You can't. They, like, run away. They're
fast.
Very jittery.
Yeah.
Fast!
Yes, exactly.
You have to be, like, a 3-year-old. I don't know how it is that 3-year-olds are able to just, like, jump in time.
All right. Well, we have to address a problem, Pumi. Enough about puppies and bunnies, although I mean, that would be lovely if we could just talk about puppies and bunnies. So someone earlier said, are we ever going to talk about the Texas school shooting? And I think we've got to just address that in a minute. But before we get to the serious things, here's an even more serious thing from Sanele. Sanele says, hi, my name is Sanele. For the second morning in a row, I'm adding vodka to my coffee. Yes, that's what the show has come to. I kid, it's just winter. Also, I was quite productive when I did it yesterday. Do not turn that into a habit. Sanele, please don't become an alcoholic. First thing in the morning, vodka. Yo. By the way, I went and bought some liquor yesterday. I just went and stocked up. You know, I like to stock up on everything. Yo, but it's expensive. I probably bought, I don't know, about 8 or 9 bottles of stuff that, you know, I just, everything from whiskeys to kind of, just so that I can have a stock at home. Well.
That's quite a... Did you win the lotto?
No, but I'll tell you what, I needed to. When the bill arrived, when the till had finished cashing up all the items, I realized I was in for some 3,200 rand. And you know what, Pumi, I thought, it's not worth it. Like, if people are going to come to my house from now on, they must bring a fucking bottle of something, because I'm not going to be doing this anymore. No, really. It's getting too expensive. I used to be one of those people who would say, you come to my house, drinks on me, you know? Now I'm kind of like, actually, you should bring something, because it's very,
But even if you're going to be serving drinks, surely when people come to your house, they bring you something. They bring you... I always bring a bottle of something when I go to people's houses.
So
even if it's not what I'm going to drink on that day.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I can name on two hands, which is quite a lot, the total number of people who've ever arrived. And I'm not talking about a fancy dinner party or anything else. I'm just talking about people who arrive for, you know, whether it's cocktails or for a party or whatever.
Games.
But people who arrive with a bottle of something. And really, they are some of my favorite people, not because they bring the bottle, just those kind of generous people. And my mom always taught me, if you go to someone's house for dinner, you take a bottle of wine with you. So
you bring a bottle of wine for the guy and,
yes, and some flowers for the lady. For the lady. Yeah, correct. See, look how old school we are.
Dude, I spoke at a youth summit on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of my keynote, I did a little thing that says, so who in this room was born in, and I started 1997.
Hmm.
Not a soul. 1998, not a soul.
Oh, my God.
1999, there were like three people. And then like 2000.
Oh, shit. Well, the 2000s would be 22 now, right? So that's like in the workplace, 22 is kind of where we start normally. I mean, somewhere
that's the work entrance.
Ooh. Yeah. That means you've been through varsity and you now have like some kind of tertiary education. 22, you started work. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God.
That's a reality check right there.
I know.
You say it's old school, but it's still good manners.
It is good manners.
It's not old school.
No, I think that's good.
It is good manners.
I think that's a good idea. Well,
it's like
Michael says on the issue of bringing wine and flowers, fuck Gareth, you've got cuck or cheap friend. Well, look, I mean, up to now, I have always said if people come to my house, don't worry to bring anything. Maybe bring some ice or some mixers or whatever else, because I'll handle the booze. But I'll tell you what, that's going to change as from this week. And no more shall that be the case. I think also alcohol, with all of those government sin taxes on it, with the cost of import for certain alcohol. And I'm not buying fancy stuff, by the way. I'm not buying like bottles of Hennessy or, you know, Remy Martin XO or imported gins and vodkas or any of that stuff. I'm buying the stuff that's ordinary. I'm not buying
stock standard.
Correct.
Gordon's dry gin.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you want gin, that's what you're going to get in my house. You want something fancy? You brought a beautiful bottle of gin to for Rena on Tuesday, the most gorgeous bottle. And it's Pumi, you know, Pumi finds all these things that are you can't just buy them. You can't just go online and order them. You can't just get them at the liquor store. This was a beautiful bottle of like Fynbos or rooibos or floral or what was
rooibos.
It?
Rooibos.
It's rooibos.
It's rooibos.
Gin, which, I mean, the most beautiful packaging, this gorgeous little bottle. And then, you know, Rena and I are like, well, we'd like to buy a few of these and give them as gifts. And you're like, well, you can't, because that's you can only get them from this shop that
from
is on the farm.
Farmhouse.
From the farm. Yeah.
From I absolutely love that gift. But I think buying gifts is one of the absolute joys of life. Buying gifts or getting a gift for somebody is one of life's untold joys.
Absolutely.
Love it. That's why Christmas is so wonderful.
Yeah, well, it is. But you see, you actually live this, Pums, because you do arrive with a bottle. You did it on Tuesday. So I can vouch for that. And I can testify to the fact that that's what you do.
It's one of my like markers. If I'm raising a good child, when Kanego's done, like when he's done being raised and he's on his own, I hope he continues to do that. So when we go to people's places, he must always, he knows. he was hold the flowers to give over. So I hope he learns and he doesn't forget it.
Well,
and he was born in like 2007. I mean, his ID looks like a phone number.
Let's hope he does. I mean, the chances are very good he will, because he's got you for a mom. So again, you know, that's when people say privilege, whether it's white privilege or this privilege or that privilege, I always say the biggest privilege you can have, and it's one that you can't even measure the value of, but you know it gives you the biggest advantage, is to have a mom and a dad who love you. And, you know, even if it's one parent who really loves you and puts in the effort, and also...
Or a granny.
Yeah, of course. But someone who...
A granny that loves you.
I'll tell you what, that's privilege, because there are so many kids who grew up without any of those things we've just mentioned. And it's impossible. It's damn near impossible to even compete against people if you don't have that. It's really, really hard. So that's the real privilege. Anyway, let's look at some stories that are in the news this morning. IOL reporting about this story in Texas at Robb Elementary School. Ay, ay, ay. What a story. So... a total of 19 students and two adults were killed on Tuesday when a teenage gunman opened fire at an elementary school in Texas before the shooter was shot dead. That's a spokesman for the Texas Department of Public Safety confirmed on Tuesday. According to CNN, it happened at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. It was on Tuesday. The 18-year-old who was the suspect has been killed. Now, I'd just like to... look at something quickly. There's a table that someone sent me of school shootings in the world, all right? So school shootings. So the country with the most school shootings is the United States.
Dum, da, da, dum.
288. Okay, that's way, 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 way higher than number two. Number two, so 288 is the United States school shootings. Guess what number two is? Country and number. Any guesses?
Number two.
Uh-huh.
Ireland.
Mexico.
Wow.
Right across the border from Texas, ironically.
No guesses who they are in close proximity to.
Correct. And guess how many Mexico had. Remember, America, 288.
10.
8. So the second place goes to 8 school shootings. The first place goes to 288. America's
two. And what's the period that they're measuring it?
This is over the course of, hang on a second, I've got to just check this because I didn't supply the table. So let me just see what it is. I'll give you the exact details, but it looks like it was pulled. Here we go. World Population Review says school shootings by country 2022. Okay.
Sure.
So that's the number we're looking at now. This is just for 2022. So this year, it's not even, we're halfway through this year. And America's had 288 school shootings. South Africa is third, which I didn't know. And that was the shock.
School shootings. For me, wow.
South Africa has
school shootings.
6 school shootings. We come up third in the world.
Shootings, school, not stabbings.
School shootings, Pums. This is what we've got. So it's unbelievable to me that we should even be on this list. I wouldn't have thought we would be there.
Sure.
A school shooting is an attack that involves the use of firearms, takes place at an educational institution such as a primary school, secondary school, or university. Many school shootings are categorized as mass shootings because of the number of people injured or killed by the attack. Individuals who commit school shootings are often influenced by debilitating factors that may include various forms of abuse, family dysfunction, mental illness, or other psychological problems. Common sources for the motivation of shooters can include depression, suicidal thoughts, a feeling of persecution, retaliation against bullying, or a desire for attention and recognition. While sources of entertainment such as films, video games, and comic books are occasionally accused of being influences as well, these accusations are rarely, if ever, backed by credible science. So the article goes on to talk about America and how it's a uniquely American crisis. But it's difficult to dispute given the alarming frequency of the U.S. compared to the rest of the industrialized world. That said, school shootings have also occurred in other countries. They're sometimes the work of one or two troubled individuals. Some shootings have been coordinated terror attacks. So it's scary to think about the fact that we, here in South Africa are third on this list. South Africa experienced 5 school shootings in the year 1994 alone, resulting in 8 deaths in total. So that was back in 94, but we're talking now about 2022. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that we would be on the list, but I didn't think we'd be that high up. Number 3. But it does show you the huge leap from number 1 to number 2. It's just, it's crazy, right? So, in South Africa, says Michael, it's almost always gang-related. That is true. The Western Cape is where most of it happens. And it has a lot to do with drugs, as Sanele points out, too. That's also a big thing in South Africa. But in America, you know, they're still trying to figure out what this is and why it is such an American thing. Anyway, we have to get some other headlines in here. We can't just look at this horrible and very depressing story, because really, what do you do about it? Like, you can't prevent this. You can do mental health assessments for everybody in the whole world. And some of these people will still slip through. It's like that Buffalo shooter in New York who went into that supermarket and killed all those people. I mean, it's just outrageous that we live in a world where someone can pick up a gun and go and do all that. And you can argue, say the availability of guns is a big problem, and it's a good argument. I'm not going to dispute that. But I think disturbed people will find a weapon. If it's not a gun, they may use a knife. I mean, the guy who attacked Dave Chappelle on stage the other night had a knife in his backpack. Now, how that got through the scanner, I don't know. And you know what? There are even, despite all of the attempts by airline security and you know, the departments in government that are meant to look after this stuff, there's still people who manage to smuggle dangerous things onto planes. So we're never going to get to zero.
People, a person with the will to do a particular thing will find a way to make it happen.
Yes.
But what I'm always intrigued by, especially in America, I mean, America and mass shootings, it's when that Buffalo shooter incident happened, I saw a thing about the average, it's on average, there are 2 mass shootings in America a week.
Jesus, that is way like, too many.
A week.
A week.
We're not even halfway through the year.
I know.
And they've already had something like 300. And I was just so astounded at how strong the gun lobby then is in America, where getting a gun, getting your hands on a gun, is so easily accessible to so many different people. And it's also not just what fascinates me also about America is it's not just handguns, right?
No,
people have rifles, semi-automatic, and I'm just like the gun culture of the US is really something that fascinates me tremendously.
You know,
there was a documentary about gun ownership in America. And how many people have more than 3 weapons?
But you mentioned the words in succession there. You said gun culture, and that's the real thing. I mean, like, America has a gun culture. You know, in South Africa, we have certain things that make it cultural to be South African. We've got all these languages. We've got people who have, you know, various kind of cultural practices, which are frowned upon by the rest of the world in some ways. You know, whether it's, you know, the circumcision rituals, or whether it's the reed dances, they all look at us and go, ooh. And I mean, those don't hurt anybody in a physical sense. So I think they're far more acceptable. But America comes from this history. And I know people think, oh, well, that's old, ancient history. Remember, the American Civil War was only 170 years ago. Now, I know that doesn't sound like, you know, yesterday, because it's beyond living memory. But the American Civil War was fought by ordinary people who picked up their guns. It wasn't organized armies in every respect. And about 100 years before that, the Americans raised their arms against the British. They are a nation of fighters. And part of that is what has contributed to them becoming such a powerful country in the world, because they've got this fighting spirit and they won't be told what to do and they believe in their freedom and all of that stuff. And it can be taken to extremes. But America is a country where there is a civilian army, an armed populace, and it's part of being American. And you know what? It goes across the race divide. I mean, we had old Maj Touré on my TV show a couple of times, and he's the founder of Black Guns for America. And you know, he, for example, says that the reason that black women are predated upon so much in America is because they don't have guns. So there's that argument. You know, the guy who eventually killed this 18-year-old at the school in Texas this week was a border patrol guy who had a gun. Otherwise, who knows, he might have killed even more people. So there are all kinds of ugly arguments. I don't want to be on one side or the other of this because it's too binary. It's too simplistic to look at it that way. America has a big problem. And if you think this is okay, you have a big problem. They've got to figure a way out. And I don't know how to help them figure this way out. I just know that the answer is not to blame just mental health. And the answer is not to just blame guns, because a gun in the hands of a good person who's there to protect other people can be a tremendous advantage. And a gun in the hands of a madman can do irreparable harm and can bring huge, huge pain. So I don't know. Speaking of a bit of a pain, I mean, by no means comparable to the pain in Texas, but our mayor of Johannesburg seems to be doing some pretty painful and ridiculous things at the moment. And we may discuss this in the Burning Platform a little bit later on. But she has said this, which I can't argue with. I like this. She says, give me 18 to 36 months and she will end endless blackouts. She says in just 2 days. She's shifted the city's energy policy from state-led to independent power producer-led, tossing out the practice of using Eskom's energy to build revenues. Now, I'm all for that, and who wouldn't be? This is a story by Ferial Hafiji in the Daily Maverick. Successive ANC governments in Joburg grew fat by adding levies to Eskom's bulk price for electricity. The city's budget is 30% funded by the additional taxes it puts on Eskom's already expensive product. Now Joburg's DA mayor, Mpo Palatse, plans to bring independent power producers onto the city grid as quickly as possible. So that's great. And I think we should applaud her, and I hope that this works. And Ferial goes into quite a lot of detail around her MMC for infrastructure, Michael Sun, who's trying to learn about how to get from load shedding to independent power producers. And obviously, Pums, if that'll work, I mean, how many times have you had to rush to the office in the morning to do this show because there was no power at home? So we want this solved. But Mpopalatse is
done. We all want this solved.
Sure, but Mpopalatse is also done, and she's been a guest on this show twice, so I don't want to be mean-spirited or a bad host when she comes on next time and sound like we're talking behind her back. She did a very weird thing at the funeral of the former mayor, which happened on Sunday. She tweeted out something about, I'm not going to die on the job, which I thought was...
She said it on the podium.
Which I thought was very weird. I mean, obviously tasteless, ill-timed. And I'm saying that as someone who's not the most sensitive, you know, creature in the room. What do you think of that? It's a bit odd, right?
She said it on the podium.
Yeah.
It was part of her, I don't know, I suppose her as a colleague. I don't know. I don't know how she got to get the platform. And it was, there was a lady behind her. If anybody's seen the video, so there was a lady behind her who maybe is a family member or whatever, who was so visibly shocked by that statement. She just like went, oh, and ran off camera. And that's just like, it was very weird. It was very odd. Talk about centering yourself in the midst of other people's pain. It really was wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what she does with this electricity. I applaud anyone who's going to tackle the monster of electricity provision in this country. It's a difficult thing to do. I don't know whether Andre de Rater is making any progress or not. We hear about huge amounts of sabotage that are going on at Eskom, but I don't know. I mean, if someone's trying to solve the problem, you have my support, but solve the problem. Don't just tell us you're going to solve the problem. And then, you know, we can all get behind you. Because I actually read this out, I think, last week when we were talking about raising rising prices everywhere. and how we're trying to save money.
Of everything.
And Eskom have just pushed up the price of electricity in Joburg by 15%. So you're going to be paying an extra 15% on power, which is already hugely expensive. So if she can help solve this, good. We're with her. All right. Quick look at some other headlines. First of all, do you care about Ryan Seacrest, and when last did you see him on TV? You used to be a massive American Idol fan, right?
Hell's bells. I was right biggest. Up until they, like, unfairly didn't let Adam Lambert win.
Unfair. You're a big Adam Lambert
then
fan.
Then I had to stop. I actually had to stop in protest.
Well, I haven't watched American Idol since probably, 2009 or something. So I really don't know what's been going on there. But apparently Ryan Seacrest is still the host. He had a wardrobe malfunction during Sunday's live broadcast of the finale. Seacrest
won. Did people see his
face? Well, he wound up swapping underwear with a stylist called Miles during the commercial break, which was a quick fix to the problem. Seacrest's anatomy, referring to his genitals, which were showing through his pants. So apparently, he told the story on Kelly Ripper's show on Monday morning. Miles is in charge of the suits that I put on. He makes sure everything's lined up and buttoned. You know when you go to a commercial and they go, can I tell you something? You need to change your underwear. So apparently this is what was happening. The host was confused at first and then went on to notice that viewers had been talking about the anatomy in the shot when he was on stage in his suit pants, but he didn't have any extra underwear with him. So the host told him, don't worry, I got mine. And they quickly undressed and exchanged boxes. Very important.
For a dick print. Okay, there we go.
So if anyone wants to see Ryan Seacrest's details, you can find, I'm sure, a still shot on the internet, which will give you all the information that you require this Thursday morning, if that's what you're after. But, I mean, that passes for news in Hollywood these days. Talk about ostriches with their head in the sand. Also, while we're talking about power provision, this is quite a good story. Ekurhuleni has got a head start in the race to buy its own power. Ekurhuleni, of course, being the industrial hub, more than 3 million people in the east of Johannesburg, they may have a head start because a program to procure as much as 700 megawatts of electricity that began in 2016 is coming to fruition. One of the funders say the project to build a 41-megawatt solar plant at the cost of R1 billion will begin by the end of this year. We've secured the equity, and once that closes, we can finalize debt and basically start overnight, said Justin Naidu, who is the chief executive of African Growth Partners, which is working with 5 independent power producers. We will start building the project before the end of the year. So that would be good news for the people of Ekurhuleni, don't you think? We'll take it.
Listen, I think more than just good news for the people of Ekurhuleni, I think it'll be great news for everyone else, because it'll show how everyone can diminish the power of Eskom, which is actually what we need. We need to stop throwing good money after bad with Eskom. We just need to accept that it's going to be one of in a mix of power suppliers and let it become smaller and smaller.
Absolutely. Spot on, Pums. That's the way we really win. You don't win by railing against this monster over and over again. And then it has to. We couldn't have a morning, you know, in the month of May without talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. So Kate Moss was on the stand yesterday.
But how long is this trial going on
for? Your guess is as good as mine. But Kate Moss was on the stand, and she said, it has been insane to hear Amber Heard's claims. Over the course of the 6-week trial, the court has heard vastly different versions of what transpired between the two during their volatile 2-year marriage. Ms. Heard and witnesses for her side painted a picture of Mr. Depp as an abuser plagued by drug use, jealousy and self-harm, and Mr. Depp's side putting forward a story of the actor as a good guy and the actress, that's being Amber Heard, as an aggressor, and her claims as being untrue. So Kate Moss arrived and said he never pushed her. He once came to her aid when she fell down the stairs. As I left the room,
They were married for 2 weeks. For 2 years.
2 years.
They were married for 2 years.
Yeah, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp were, yeah. Correct. But Kate Moss said, which is direct contradiction of what Amber Heard has been trying to put forward. Kate Moss said, he never pushed me down the stairs. He never physically abused me. There was never anything but love. In fact, he came to my aid during that one occasion where I slipped down the stairs. So this is not good for old Amber and her team. She's going to have to come up with some very, very good stories very, very quickly, because it's starting to look like she is making shit up. And I wouldn't be surprised. Just saying. Any further comments on that, Pums?
No, thank you. Move right along.
All right. We will move
along. I'm trying to find the calculator in my iPad, because I want to calculate 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is a percentage of the 2 years. They have been married for 2 years and are spending 6 weeks talking about this 2 years.
I agree with you, yeah.
I am devastated at the waste of time and energy and good brains.
Total waste of time. And you think about how embarrassing and humiliating this is. A lot of people saying, oh, this is good. Johnny Depp's going to bounce back after this. But Amber Heard can't, right? She's always going to be the woman who shat in the bed. Always, forevermore.
Bona, guys, in 2022, this is what we are reduced to. We don't have droids. We don't have droids to clean up after us, and people are talking about shitting in the bed.
Hey, it is the trial of the year. We need a trial.
That's why we don't have droids. That's why we don't have droids. We're concentrating on the wrong things.
But that you get what you deserve. What you pay attention to becomes your reality. And people are paying huge attention to Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. This is all they care about at the moment. I mean, it's hilarious. Someone was saying the other day, you know, we've got these serious stories like school shootings. I think it was Bill Maher. You're saying school shootings and, you know, a war in the Ukraine and all this. People's attention is just like a goldfish. You can distract them with anything. Now it's like an actress shitting in the bed. That's still number one to some people. They're paying more attention to that than they are to aliens. You know, I mean, so I don't know if you saw, but in Congress last week,
yes,
we were told that there have been over 800 unidentified flying objects, which may or may not be alien spacecraft, that they're admitting from sources like the Air Force that they've witnessed. Now, there used to be a time where an alien story would have everybody going, oh, what? Now, we can't even get people to pay attention to actual alien unidentified flying objects because they're watching Amber Heard.
Listen, now y'all wish that storming of Area 51 had really taken off, don't you?
There's stuff there, I'm telling you. People don't know. It's great. All right. We got lots of people here talking about all kinds of other things. Let's just have a look. Amber Turd, as G-Star calls him, looked so crazy. I hope Heard sees the inside of a cell. Purgatory is a crime. I think you mean perjury, and I think you spelt it. No, I think you just spelt it wrong. It's P-E-R-G-U-R-Y, but I get you, Congo Chris. I see what you mean. Perjury. Lindy Ntuli. The only time you'll hear us say where we live, I think that's in response to a question. Lindy says, the one time I can be proud of living in Boksburg. And that's because we mentioned Ekuruleni in that story about power. So, Pums, you did. I brought this up right at the start of the show, and we've only got a couple of minutes before we go to the burning platform because this hour is just rushed by. But you wanted to talk about the monkeypox. So let's look at this, because this is now the thing which the World Health Organization is saying we must all be careful of, and it's really, really dangerous. I mean, the monkeypox apparently has been around since the 70s.
Yeah, monkeypox is not new. It's just and has been confined to East Africa, mm-hmm, primarily.
Yes.
And in the past 2 weeks, there have been cases in Europe, in Australia, so in a couple of countries in Europe and in Australia. So mm-hmm. now, of course, now we must all worry about it. But what I was particularly interested in is watching the way in which they are speaking about the monkeypox. So it started a little bit with when COVID came, and we saw how people kind of lost their minds about mask mandates and where and what, and the shaming of people who weren't doing or complying, right? And now this monkeypox has the same language creeping back. You remember how with HIV and AIDS in the 80s and the early 90s, how there was so much shame linked to getting the disease and having the disease and eventually dying. I mean, watching the documentary about the artist the other day, and he talks about, in his diary, he has a whole lot of things about the gay cancer is what they used to call it.
That's right. AIDS.
And so it was linked with so much shame. And again, they're starting to do that again. And I was just like, we're moving backwards. Another thing where we're moving backwards, where illness is being linked to shame, because and the way that it's earned, primarily at the moment, it seems to be spreading through homosexual behavior. And I'm just like,
all right, but let me ask you this. I mean,
surely we have learned.
Well, what we have learned from last year with the and the year before with COVID is that mostly the people who were adversely affected to the point where they had to worry about their life, not just their general health for a couple of days, was old people, people who had respiratory conditions, and people who were vulnerable because they were obese or had diabetes or any of that stuff. Those are the people who were most adversely affected. We know, for example, that at the beginning of COVID, it was fairly clear that kids were safe, that kids were not going to be major victims. I mean, the number of children worldwide that died from COVID was immeasurably small, right? Mm. Or rather measurably small, but very, very small. So it would have been helpful at that point for us to not have treated children like the rest of the population. And this is where I hear what you're saying about we don't want to turn this into another reason to discriminate. But I'm afraid when it comes to diseases, if we've discovered that something is sexually transmitted, which it appears that this is, that we should then make that clear to people so they know how to not get it. Apparently all these cases of monkeypox in Europe, and you point out quite rightly that nobody cared when it was in East Africa, but now that it's in Europe, it's a big thing. All of these cases in Europe seem to have come from two events. They're calling them either a gay rave or a gay bathhouse or a whatever. It helps for people to know so that they know whether they're in danger of contracting this thing by breathing the air or if they have to actually have sex with someone to get it. This is not about discrimination.
Monkeypox is viral. Right, so monkeypox is viral.
Yeah,
similar to chickenpox.
Right,
and it does spread through contact and touch, with, and particularly broken skin.
Right,
so it's not necessarily through sex, through contact.
Okay,
it's just that these cases, this is the link. So probably somebody who had it, and because the homosexual community hangs out with each other, you know, that's where the close contact has been. It's
fair
not
enough.
Necessarily that it is
it's
sexually
not, nobody,
transmitted.
I don't think anyone's jumping on this to say, ah, oh, it's a gay disease, you know, it's a punishment from God, like those old preachers used to say.
No, so they're not saying it's a gay disease. But the way in which the kind of the press conferences that we've seen are press conferences that I say people who should be vigilant are homosexuals and men who have sex with men. And if you've been to any of these, and I'm just like,
but Pumi, just let's be honest too. That is 100% of the cases reporting in Europe at the moment. So it's useful information. People want to know that stuff.
It is useful information.
It's not discrimination. It doesn't come from a place where someone is actively trying to discriminate against gay men. It comes from a place where people want to know how this thing spread and whether or not they're at risk. That's all. COVID taught us that we're not all equally at risk.
That's my point. Is if you then confine it to the fact that these cases have been in this space and not open it up to say, actually, it's, you don't have to have sex with somebody to get it. If you are in close contact with the person who has it, whether you are a man having sex with men or not, you're likely to get this thing. And that's where the framing is where the framing is problematic. You know, and it creates.
I don't think that's the biggest problem here. I think I really don't.
And watch,
I
mean,
I understand what you're saying about like discrimination in the 80s and 90s because of AIDS being a gay disease, and you know there were all kinds of other horrible things that people did and said about these diseases. But I don't believe you could put discrimination first and foremost. In fact, I think what that ends up doing is almost doing a disservice to the community who. In this case especially, we can observably, by the figures, see is more at risk because that's where it started spreading. And I don't know, I've never been to a gay bathhouse, but I assume there's certain things that happen in a gay bathhouse that don't happen anywhere else. And if that's where it started, let's just be honest about it. Gay men are adult and they're sensible and they're just as clever and they're just as capable of figuring out bullshit from truth as anybody else. We don't have to create a special category where they are protected from discrimination against someone who's not discriminating against them. They're just talking about a disease. Really?
Dude, all I'm saying is you can say it's emanated from this community. It has started here, but everyone is at risk if you come into contact with the person, an animal, or a surface infected with this thing.
But not... If it came from a gay rave, as some sources say, or a gay bathhouse or whatever, I don't think they're just having cocktails with each other there. Although one part of that word cocktail is maybe right. All I'm thinking is...
Stop it!
No, but let's just call it what it is. In fact, if you care about that community, don't worry about them being in some indirect way being discriminated against. Let's... help fight this by telling the truth about it and not say it's something.
Tell the truth.
It's not saying something everybody, you know, now kids are at risk or monkeypox is going to have us all walking around in masks or let's not bullshit ourselves. And also, you know, it would behoove organizations like the World Health Organization, which did itself no favors over the last 2.5 years, to start telling the truth to people. And I think gay men in the world are just as capable of hearing and internalizing and using useful information to their advantage, not being treated like children, where we immediately go, ooh, the last thing we want is discrimination and putting that cart ahead of the horse, which is the disease. No?
The last thing we want is people not being vigilant because they think they don't fall into the category of people that could get the disease.
Agreed. But it seems to be 100% of the cases that we're seeing in Europe at the moment are in this community. So let's help them. Let's not treat them like kids. They're adults. They want to know this stuff. Anyway, Let's get on to the burning platform, which is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We're joined this morning by a returning contender and someone who we'd love to hear from. Mighty Jamie joins us again, an award-winning international debating and public speaking champion and coach. It's always good to have Jamie on, and we got a lot to talk about this morning, including some of the issues that we spoke about this morning, the gun control, the monkey pox. We've got so much to get into. Plus, it was Africa Day yesterday, so we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on the rest of the continent and how that affects us, how it plays into our reality. All of that and more on the way. It is Thursday on CliffCentral.com. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.